Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer. Inside the evidence, behind the headlines, from someone who's been there. Here now, Jennifer Coffendaffer.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Big show today. I've been dying to do this show, and that's a show regarding, of course, Nancy Guthrie, who disappeared back on February 1st. She disappeared from her bed in her home in Tucson, Arizona, where she lived for 50 years. She is the mother of Savannah Guthrie, a very famous news personality. Appears as the anchor on the Today Show, which is a very coveted position worth $40 million. So a big name in the, certainly in the news and morning news genre. Today, I want to talk about, and I really want to get chat involved in this, if anything else comes up that either if I don't know the answer to that I can find. But essentially, there's facts that are known in this case. I want to go over those. I want to go over rumors. And then I also want to go over information we know from source information, because there's been some important information that has come up in this case from the beginning that has been attributed to high-level sources in the know. And so I've been talking a lot about sources, and I want to add this, that I do not blame reporters. I really don't. Their job, a good reporter's job, is to report what sources tell them, what they glean from the ground, what neighbors tell them, whether it's good information or bad. That's not their job per se. Their job is to report facts that they're being told. So when I say facts, it's a fact that the person told them that, not that it's a real fact in the case, but that somebody passed on the information. So I think we all appreciate that reporters are trying to get out there different news angles and different information, and they're including their sources. Because as I said, when you hear source, you just have to caveat that information. May be good, may not be good, but it's from a source. We're going to talk about source information. There's three main areas I want to hit on there. Got a pretty big list, but we'll try to knock it out pretty quickly. First of all, let's talk about rumors. Let's just dispel some rumors, okay? The number one rumor that is still flying all around, I see it all, even on my Twitter, from accounts that I think are, you know, they're good accounts. It's not that they are necessarily conspiracy theorists. It's just that with a lot of different information out there and with a podcaster that, in my opinion, absolutely, and I hope that at the end of this one particular podcaster who put together this entire elaborate show, showing how Tommaso Cioni is guilty and how he was called in and interviewed by the FBI, and the FBI showed he was a big liar and that he did all this crime and he had accomplices, and that there's information on his text messages that show, it's unbelievable. It's literally like a movie, only it's shown to be real. Now, there's a lot of clues that it's just nonsense, like Ted Danson being the head FBI agent that they have in conducting this case, you know, 20 years of experience in these matters. And it's kind of funny, like from the beginning, I'm like, oh my God, here we go. But you wouldn't believe all the thousands of people that believe that all of that is true. So that's my number one rumor that's still flying around, that people that are very logical and good people are believing. And it's because really, when you consider like an Occam's razor approach, it made sense in this case, kind of like in the Idaho 4 initially, that you're going to look for somebody close to the individual, somebody who has something to gain, an inheritance, a life insurance policy, power over an estate. You're looking for all of that. And you're going to try to point the finger. Also, the fact that it seems obvious. I mean, this is just my belief, said it from the beginning, that whoever is involved with this has a familiarity with Nancy, with that house, with Savannah. It's somebody familiar to that family, or at least peripherally familiar, meaning they might have met Nancy and Savannah might have met a lot more to this person than this person meant to them. So nevertheless, I want to stay on our rumors, because tomorrow's segment, unless there's something breaking, we're going to talk about theories, and we're going to go through the possible theories that exist in this case. Not everything out there, but possible theories that have at least some basis of belief, and that in discussions with individuals like Cheryl McCallum, like the guys that I work with and worked with at the FBI, cutting it up with all of them, kind of the most likely possibilities. But that's tomorrow's episode. Today, we're going to stick with going through facts, going through rumors, and going through source information. So again, the number one, and I want to put the chat up here so everybody can see in case you can't see. And then let me put something up here. Let's see. Let's just put this one up here. So he was the last one to see her. Definitely was the last one to see her. And that was another reason that, of course, you're going to look at him. But at the end of the day, the reason I want to put this rumor, and I'm calling it a rumor, because there's not one iota of factual information that says he murdered her, or that he put together a conspiracy with others and conspired to murder Nancy. And in fact, I don't know if you noticed, but yesterday in the latest message from Savannah Guthrie, she says that the $1 million is from the family. She makes that very clear, not from her, when I think we all know the money likely is directly that Savannah is pledging that kind of money, because Savannah has that kind of money to pledge. Not Annie and not Cameron and no one else. It's her that has the money to pledge. But she specifically says the family. She also quotes her sister saying that basically their hope is on embers, or words to that effect. So essentially, we just need to recognize that what we have before us when it comes to Annie and Tommaso, it's been put to bed. It's been put to bed. And I know a lot of people don't believe and don't have any faith in Sheriff Nanos. And we're going to talk about that a little bit here. But at the end of the day, Sheriff Nanos is not going to make, to me, what was an epic turning, the most important statement he's made in the entire case was when he said, "The family is cleared." A lot of people say, "Oh, that's unusual. They shouldn't have done that." I've heard even some of my fellow, you know, talking heads, whatever you want to call us, that, you know, that was inappropriate. It's not inappropriate. The difference is that many of us that are out here, pundits giving our expertise, we have never had a case that has been, I'm not going to say not this big, cases that have been far bigger in terms of intricate and more suspects and more difficult investigative tools like Title III. Title III investigations, deep-seated informants, deep-seated undercover officers, all these other mechanisms that you use in 1, 2, 3, 4 year long investigations into organized crime. I'm not talking about that, but what I'm talking about in those cases, in most of our experience, you don't have cases that light up like this. When I say light up, where there's a huge social media and mainstream media and overall worldwide interest in a case. These cases like Nancy Guthrie are unusual. Gabby Petito, that was really the first one, one of the first ones we saw most recently. But if you look back to Lacey Peterson, that was another case that blew up. But again, it didn't have that social media component. And I say that only because now social media is so much bigger. And I talked about the show on Paramount about SLUs and about what that means to cases in the future. And I really think they did a nice job with that show. Somebody in chat brought up the exact name of it. It's in at Paramount. Actually, JLR was in it. I was in it. Multiple people that you would recognize from YouTubers and social media individuals were in that. And the premise of the show was very well done. And that is basically things have changed. And social media has a huge influence on these cases. But nevertheless, most of the people talking, while they may have had very big and important cases, they didn't have this element. As I said, other than JonBenet, Lacey Peterson, Gabby Petito, Idaho 4, and this case, which is starting to get into that realm of interest, you don't have that. And so because of that, it's important to send out a list, just like they did in Idaho, which was so very important, where they said, listen, these people are cleared. I mean, people were blaming the boyfriend of Kaylee. One person, including a talking head, and I'm not going to say his name, former FBI. He was actually blaming Steve Gonsalves as being a part. There was a whole group of people that were saying this was drug related, the Idaho 4 case meaning. Just rumors were going rampant. And when you have that, you have an absolute assassination of people's character. You have a situation where people can't go to school. They can't, look at their social media. They can't do anything without being called a murderer. I mean, poor Dylan Mortensen, she's still enduring all of that. It's horrible, the assassination. So it was very good, I think, that law enforcement came on very early and said this was the list. And listen, if you look at that case too, the FBI does not talk. I am telling you, in Houston anyway, there was a Red Shoe Award if you slipped up and even said anything to media at all, because a lot of times media would be crawling all over our cases, particularly as we were doing arrests, takedowns, SWAT operations, and then you have media everywhere and they're trying to get your attention. Hey, what is this? Did you arrest so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. And even if you turn and said something like, yes, Red Shoe Award, and you could get in a lot of trouble for it too. This is just the FBI is not going to come out typically with pressers and information other than Kash Patel. Look, Kash Patel loves to talk to the media. He loves to, give out information about cases. He stepped in it a few times. We all saw that where he had to retract or otherwise, the statement was wrong. I've always said, and this is how it used to be done, and I think it should still be done, either what we call the media coordinator, which is like the PIO called in departments, which is the public information officer, but we call media coordinators. They should either address the public, I think, or the case agent. A lot of times they want to keep them shielded because the case agent just knows too much. And, and they're also, the case agents aren't necessarily good with media, just like we're seeing with Nanos. He's a sheriff, but he's terrible with the media. Maybe politically, he must have done okay because he got himself elected. But when it comes to these cases, typically it's so many layers away, everyone, that the people work in boots on the ground, then they have a supervisor, then they have a lieutenant, then they have a captain, then they have an assistant chief, and then it gets up to the chief. That is how ridiculous this telephone game is, and why you see in press conferences, Chris Nanos either saying he doesn't know, or if he does know, he's wrong. Again, I'll go back to him saying that his officers or his deputies reported alone on the Saturday night. I mean, that's what he said, Saturday night. He had an even night in there when really all this happened Sunday in the day. So I still haven't sorted through that. Somebody needs to come out and get that clarified. But back to the rumors, because I keep digressing, everyone. Annie, Tommaso are involved. No, that is a rumor. And it's been debunked. And if you don't believe what the sheriff said, because you don't believe that the FBI really said it, I can just tell you, working these kinds of cases 15 years, I worked side by side with the local departments, but obviously was an FBI agent, even my office with the local departments, my desk where I reported to work. And in those situations, I could tell you that there is no way the local chief or sheriff would release something this big with saying, in other words, the family has been cleared without that. Also, you hear the unity, if you will, with Savannah Guthrie and when she talks about her siblings and the unity with her sister and so forth. So take that all into account. Even if you don't believe Nanos on most things, I believe his written statement in this situation unequivocally, based on my experience being in similar situations. The Bureau is not going to let that go out if it's rubbish. They're just not going to address it. Okay, number two, Nancy never made it home that night. I see this rolling all around. I'm so confused why that is happening. Nancy made it home that night. How do we know that? We know that because in the timeline at 2:28, her Apple Watch disconnected from her pacemaker. So we know she was lying there in bed. We also know because, and I have the whole list, but her wallet, her hearing aids, her Apple Watch, it was all left behind. And that has been confirmed by law enforcement. So it was all left there, which was, of course, a huge sign that she was taken, that she didn't voluntarily leave. Also a huge sign in my mind that this was not any sort of robbery. I've already talked about why this wasn't a robbery gone bad. They come with a full backpack and they don't leave anything. Kind of end of story there. All right, let's see. Number three, that Sheriff Nanos is corrupt. Listen, I see that rumor every single day. I see it on my platform. I see it on every platform. He's not corrupt. This is the problem. Corruption often, let me see. I want to make sure I get read this before I go on. Okay. I'm going to address that, and I appreciate that question. I want to thank NJZ for gifting another membership. I think this is the fourth one you've gifted. I just want you to know I'm taking note, and I really appreciate, because for me, for somebody who is out here doing this to get information across and be a victim's advocate and bring truth and hopefully some understanding to these cases, have great guests on, there is nothing more awesome to me than to have, even if it's just one member added in a show. It just means a lot. I've got a lot coming on. We're now only doing member releases. We're not releasing them ever to anybody else. And we're just doing some member type releases. Our team is working on doing that every night. We have a lot of changes coming. I'll let you know about those soon. But anyway, I don't want to digress from the most important thing we're discussing, and that is Nancy Guthrie. Back to these points, that the sheriff is corrupt. I've always said this. Incompetence mirrors corruption. incompetence mirrors corruption, not the other way around. When somebody is corrupt, that means they literally are altering evidence. They are hiding evidence. They are lying purposefully. They are lie under oath. They are purposefully tainting an investigation to point away from an individual. So public corruption, I worked public corruption on and off throughout my career. One of my biggest public corruption cases, I did the undercover work on it. I was not the case agent. First name, and he's still one of my dearest friends. First name I'll give you is Carlo. And Carlo, heavy hitter, white collar guy, an accountant, worked white collar in the bureau his whole time, and he needed an undercover for this particular case. It was a rotten DA who was essentially caught up in drugs. And my role was to befriend her and to do drugs with her. It was a very interesting case. I tell you, anytime you work undercover, it's very interesting because you are, need another word besides interesting, my husband told me. It's very challenging because there you are fake befriending somebody. I've always said Hollywood needs to forget about looking for actors and actresses and just get retired undercover agents, because retired undercover agents act with their life on the line. They act with a case on the line. They act with justice on the line. And they know if they blow their cover, if they blow who they're pretending to be, it can cost them their life. It can cost somebody else their life. It can cost the case. It can cost justice. So anyway, and then the other part of that is, as a human, you can get close to these people in a certain way. You know they're corrupt, but that doesn't mean on a very human level that you might not enjoy them and get close to them. Gosh, I'm digressing again. Nevertheless, I just wanted to say, in working public corruption, I can tell you that there's a big difference between cases where you see leaders being incompetent. In other words, they shouldn't be speaking to the public about cases. They could speak about other things, but not about cases. They oftentimes aren't making good decisions because they have never been in a situation of being in charge of a case to a particular magnitude or a case involving a particular violation. This is a kidnapping. This is an abduction. How many cases has Chris Nanos been involved in that was a kidnapping or an abduction? My belief is zero. And then what about his officers? Bring the Bureau in and bring those case agents in that have actually had experience working these cases and put them in charge. Listen, he's always going to be in charge. That's the weird part about this. He never is not going to be in charge because venue lies in Pima County, period, end of story, unless Nancy Guthrie ends up being found in Mexico or another state, or went back and forth. I talked about that case of the other 80-year-old that started in South Carolina, went to North Carolina, came back to South Carolina. In that situation, even though they ended up back where they started, that was charged federally because of the crossing of the state lines during the abduction. Other than that, Chris, you get to keep your case. Anyway, to say, though, that he's corrupt now, don't get me wrong. And remember, I did a whole tweet on this. I was very specific to point out the years, which I believe was 2011 to 2016. He was looked at by the FBI for 5 years for being corrupt when it came to $500,000 that was misappropriated funds that came into his department and was not used for what they were supposed to be used for, which is always typically something with the department. And then what happens is it gets misappropriated to personal use. He was investigated for 5 years. That investigation, as I recall, ended in 2016, so about 10 years ago, and he was not charged. Somebody else was. So after a five-year FBI investigation, they couldn't make any charges stick against him. So I have no proof that Chris Nanos is corrupt or that Chris Nanos is acting corrupt here. Is he incompetent in so many ways? From what I'm seeing, yes. I mean, we all see it. His messaging is a hot mess. But remember, Chief Fries was too, a hot mess. There was all sorts of miscommunication, all sorts of issues with saying one thing. And then the DA actually in that case, or the prosecutor, DA, whatever you want to call him, said the other opposite thing, whether it was targeted, not targeted. Remember, they're looking out for, they don't want their constituency freaking out, wondering if there is some serial old person killer out there. I'm serious. That is definitely a concern. And that's why right away, you know, he wanted to downplay that. And so I'm going to talk about that further. But you have to look at why somebody is doing something. And it's not necessarily because they're corrupt. It can be because of incompetency and bad motives. Now, some of you might not agree with that. But I'm just saying right now, I'm calling anything that I can't prove factually, I'm calling it a rumor. If I can't support it factually, then I have to call it a rumor. So that's a rumor. Four, Nancy being the target had to do with Savannah's role in the Epstein file. If you go back to my very first tweet, the very first one, in this case, clear back on the first, you will see that I actually put that as a subnote. That isn't it interesting when the number one thing I'm covering, the number one thing mainstream media is covering, the number one thing that people in true crime care about are the Epstein files. Congress cares about, like, it was blowing up. We were seeing so many names that are involved in this, guys. I'm not going to list them. My gosh, it's shocking how many names. If you go back and look, and I'll never do a tweet on this, but go back and look at the people, everything from people reporting on this case to people otherwise being involved peripherally on this case. Take a look. It's bizarre how many people are mentioned in the Epstein files that it was all breaking. Right at that time, go back and look. And then Nancy Guthrie comes up. So I'm calling it a rumor, though. But two things can be true at once. Because I'll guarantee you this case has completely detracted from the Epstein file coverage. I was covering the Epstein files. I really wanted to cover it every day. I could tell you my team's been working on it for months. Things we knew, but we're just, you know, you don't want to get sued. And there's some big heavy hitters and information about them that are not only in those files, but that were in Freedom of Information Act information that we got our hands on. And we were very careful not to release that, to try to wait for the right time. All that's gone, almost. True crime is caught up in this case. I think Anna Kempner, I'm going to keep on some of these bigger cases, the Corey Richens case that I've covered from the very beginning. Anna Kempner, I just reported on that this morning on a television hit. Those cases are also very important. But wow, can everybody see the lens? Can everybody see the camera shift? It was amazing to see it. So as I said, two things can be true at once. This is the rumor. The rumor is that this particular abduction happened for the purpose of moving the camera lens away from Epstein and the coverage away from Epstein and moving it on Nancy Guthrie. Okay, that's the rumor. What's the truth, though, for sure, is that that's happened. Not that the abduction, that was the motive of the abductor / abductors, but rather that was the result. The result of this abduction completely moved the camera lens. The question is, was that the purpose? Was that the purpose of these abductors? Was that their true motive? We know it's not money. Okay, sorry, I'm digressing again. That's for tomorrow. We're going to stick on rumors. This is a huge rumor. It's floating all around. I can't deny that it's not been the result. I can just say it's complete rumor. There's no factual basis to support that that is why the abductors took Nancy. Could it end up being that? There's a lot on the table because the Occam's razor isn't on the table right now. The normal reasons, right? Money, ransom, life insurance, inheritance, all that's off the table. So now we are definitely outside the box in terms of motive. All right. Rumor number five, no private searches have been allowed. Okay, look, Nanos really messed up with this one. First saying you have to be permitted. And I'm not saying the permit idea. I think it's a bad idea calling it that way. Again, and for those of you who listened in yesterday or even the day before when I might have discussed this is how this should go. Somebody he designates. Again, when you're the head of something, you're not necessarily doing the work. When I was the case agent on cases and had up to 10 agents assigned to me, I'm not necessarily doing the work. I have Jesse, for instance, on one of these cases, he's in charge of surveillance. So he's in charge of getting everybody together, conducting the surveillances, getting all that information and bringing it back to me. The Title III wiretap, somebody else in charge of that Title III wiretap room, making sure everything is going smoothly in there and then giving me the reports that he believes are relevant and significant. Informant, Sue, you're in charge of the major informants on this. That is handling all that. That's what a leader does. A leader designates other individuals in charge of various items and trusts them then to do the job they've been given and to give all the information back to the case agent that then is running the case and looking at all these aspects. That's how it should work. And that, unfortunately, does not seem to be necessarily what's happening here. If I were Nanos, I would say, listen, I'm designating this person to be in charge of these searches from the sheriff's office, not meaning you're out there, but meaning you are going to hold a conference with everybody who is searching, not the people, but the people in charge of the people. So for instance, we know the Cajun Navy is out there. Whoever's in charge of the Cajun Navy, they would be invited. Madres Buscadoras de Sonora, which is the looking mothers, the searching mothers from Sonora, is the state in Mexico. And all the other search parties, there's somebody in charge. You get that person in charge, you have a meeting with them, and you tell them, wear gloves, don't touch anything, call us if you find anything, take pictures, take video, make sure nothing's moved. That's what you tell them, and then you provide all the gloves for them. And by the way, I would highly recommend providing blue gloves, not black gloves, especially in this case. And I'm sorry, I haven't been putting up some of these pictures as I address all of this. You really want to encourage these type of search parties if you've already cleared the area. I mentioned Rachel Morin. Rachel Morin was found by a private searcher. Rachel Morin was sexually assaulted brutally and murdered and dumped in kind of the Sistrin area. Law enforcement looked and looked and looked, never found her. She was along a very particular jogging trail, and even with that specific parameter, couldn't find her. Independent searchers went out. Guess what? They found her. And that's not the only case. Kylie Rodney. Oh my gosh, that went on. I mean, all these law enforcement assets, boats and sonar and blah, 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 blah. And then Adventures with Purpose goes out and finds her in like 5 minutes, because that's what they do every single day. Whereas you have law enforcement using these mechanisms like sonar that they use every blue moon, and then they practice with it now and again, but they don't do it all day long on multiple searches. So that's what these other search parties bring, oftentimes the time, the energy, and more eyes. So nevertheless, searches haven't been stopped. I don't think they're well coordinated at all. Instead of embracing all these eyes and bodies and souls to help you, Nano's really pushed them away and isn't allowing anything on that property. We saw trespassing signs go up. At least trespassing signs are up now. There should be crime scene tape up, in my opinion. It should have been up from 25 days ago and never taken down. That's another story. Nevertheless, I just wanted to dispel the rumor that he stopped searches, because that is not what happened. Okay, moving on. Number six. There's a lot of rumor out there that Nancy had a dog, and that's because of pictures with Nancy with Fletch and with Fetch. Fetch is Savannah Guthrie's dog. And so there are pictures with her with the dog on, that she's with the dog, Nancy Guthrie. It's not her dog, it's Savannah's dog. So I just wanted to dispel that rumor. I want to go into a couple of facts now. Let me double check and see if anybody else has a rumor they want to add. Let's see. Okay. I don't see anybody else talking about other rumors, but I do see some other really good questions here in chat. All right. Let me move on to facts. Let's talk about real facts, hard facts we know. One, that super sniffer that was brought out to sniff basically the Wi-Fi signaling from Nancy Guthrie's pacemaker. And yes, it's a fact she had a pacemaker, and it's a fact she had hearing aids, because law enforcement said those were left behind. One of the clues they had that she did not leave voluntarily. That super sniffer can make out a signal from 100 to 300 yards in open space. Now, for those of you who never ran track and don't care about football, from a track runner here, I always think of everything like that in yards, although it switched to meters later. 100 yards is 1/4 of a football field. So think of a football field. So this sniffer can go from about 1/4 to about 3/4 of a football field, because I think everybody's seen a football field. That's pretty far. But think of how far up a helicopter flies. And remember, that's in an open area that you'd be looking at. And think of all the other possible Wi-Fi signals that this sniffer would have to deal with in a congested area like they were looking, which was in and around the house of Nancy Guthrie for the most part. So I think where it can become really useful is, for instance, in a desert. In a desert, if, and I say this is a big if, look, if Nancy Guthrie is no longer with us, the idea that the people who took her would not be smart enough to know to manually disable that pacemaker, and or I believe there is metal and other things that can be used to otherwise block the signal. But nevertheless, most likely, I mean, they don't care about Nancy, and they're going to make sure that that pacemaker is no longer functioning. That's my belief. But nevertheless, it was a Hail Mary. I think it could have been useful sniffing around in the desert area where 4,000 bodies, by the way, have been found over the years. I think I looked at a 9-year period, 4,000 bodies. That's a heck of a lot of bodies. I know a lot of people say they're illegals. I don't know. I just know bodies have been found there. So when we look at this, that super sniffer does have great ability, but the ability is very limited Just think how low that would mean that helicopter would fly. You don't normally fly a helicopter at that level, and it's best in open areas. So I just wanted to give some facts about the Super Sniffer. Number two, the FBI searched gun stores with 40 names and faces. That is fact. That's not a rumor. What does that really mean? Does that mean that they had very specific information related to those names? I think, again, it was a bit of a shot in the dark. They had some possible names likely that equated to individuals that they thought might look like Porch Guy. And they wanted to go out and check on that. Remember, they're also cross-referencing. And to me, this is one of the biggest leads they have. They're cross-referencing the purchase from a Walmart of that backpack. They're cross-referencing the clothes that he wore as possibly being from the Walmart. They were sold in other places, but that backpack was exclusive to Walmart. And then that holster that was also apparently sold at Walmart. So they're going to try to cross-reference all of that. And again, they're just going to follow every lead, but it was factual that they did that. The description of the subject is factual. You could see he's not a black male. He's 5'9 to 5'10, medium built. Now that describes, and I actually statistically looked this up, 17.1 million people in the United States fit that designation, by the way, male too, because I know early on a lot of people, oh, it's a female male. So that's facts known about him. Okay. I want to say another fact is the reward amount. The reward amount is $1.2 million. $100,000 is from the FBI. $100,000 is from a lawyer through kind of Crime Stoppers, but he personally put up the money. That's been a little confusing to me, whether Crime Stoppers put up 100 and he put up 100, so it's really 200. But actually the fact is, finally got to the bottom of it, 100,000 from Crime Stoppers, but he was actually the one that privately, he's an attorney, his last name is Hoopy, Michael Hoopy, H-E-P-Y, that put up the money. And that was the $100,000. And then, of course, yesterday we saw Savannah Guthrie put up $1 million. Number five, that she disappeared from her bed. That's a fact. We know that because the Apple Watch was by her bed at a nightstand, and she had the Apple Watch on. I'm sorry. And she had the pacemaker that connected to the Apple Watch and then disconnected at 2:28. So that's a fact. We know she was in bed near that Apple Watch because 6 to 12 inches or so, I think it's a little bit further than that, but it's a very close proximity that you have to be at to connect with your Apple Watch. That's why they wear the Apple Watch right there on them. But nevertheless, we know it disconnected. So she got too far for the Wi-Fi to connect to the Apple Watch. So we know she was in her bed. It's a fact that the phone, wallet, medication, and vehicle were not taken, and the hearing aids. Okay, that was confirmed by law enforcement. Now, I've seen, and we're going to talk about this tomorrow, so, but I'll digress just for a second. I've seen a lot of rumors that actually, somebody, a drug crazed, or, you know, that's why. I'm not buying that. I don't think that person's actions to me were indicative of necessarily being wasted at all. He's not stumbling. He's not falling. He's able to pull up those. I just don't see it. I see somebody that's making moves that are unusual, perhaps because of a mental illness. We talked about this a lot yesterday, Cheryl McCollum and I, you know, a type like, and I had talked about this previously, and we laughed because apparently she was on a show talking about it. And I talked about it, I believe, here with you all. I might have even done a tweet on it about an Hinckley type who, remember, was in love with Jodie Foster, ended up trying to kill. In fact, it was on this show. I talked about it several days ago. Could that be this situation? But again, we're going to go into theories more tomorrow. This is my point about why I don't think it's some drug addict. When you have a drug addict, they're going to take all the drugs. I don't care what those drugs are, they're going to take them. That's what drug addicts do. They're not going to leave anything, prescription or not, laying around a house where they could easily take it. If they're a thief, they're not going to leave the wallet. They're not going to leave a car necessarily. They're going to steal. They're going to steal things that are easily taken. And from our knowledge, nothing of value was taken, including her wallet. And again, I don't think this was some drug-crazed addict. He would have taken her medication and that was left behind. I want to give you actually a personal experience with that. So a lot of times I like to obviously reference my FBI experience, which is separate from this, but it comports with my FBI experience and thieves, especially addicts, when they go into places, they take everything and they're going to take the pharmaceuticals. But I just have to give you this personal. So I had we moved and obviously always talking to the movers, and one of the movers, I found out that he does a lot of other things other than move. So we had just moved into this house that had been ransacked by two hurricanes and not been fixed. So I was remodeling this entire house. Anyway, I hired him to basically do some work in the house. Well, nothing was in the house but me and a ransacked house and the stuff that had just been moved in. So it was in boxes and I was kind of like unloading stuff. Well, one of the things I unloaded was, and I know you're not supposed to do this, but I just don't throw medicine away. I just take it and throw it in this drawer and I just have it. So cough medicine and I understand it can get less potent, but like cough medicine, I love to have that. Then when somebody has a cough, I give it to them for a cough. Anyway, so I had this drawer. And anyway, he ends up leaving at the end of the day working. And I had left him upstairs when I was downstairs at a certain point. I wasn't sitting there watching everything he was doing. Well, I went back upstairs at one point, many days later, to find something in that drawer, whatever it was, an antacid. I can't remember what it was. The entire drawer was gone. Not one bottle was left. Gone. Probably 30 bottles of, you know, various medicines. So obviously he never came back. I called him, never got a hold of him, gone in the wind. But just to give you an example of that's what addicts do. So do I think this was an addict? I really don't think this was an addict. No. Thank you so much, Seagate, for becoming a member. It means so much. Is that a dog I see? Oh my gosh, I'm a huge dog lover. All right. Number 8. The front door mat and leaves were not taken, and neither was the Nest camera holder. That is all fact. That is not a rumor. It wasn't taken. We believe, meaning most anybody who has ever processed a gun crime scene, we are perplexed about that. We don't understand it. Can you imagine? Let me give you an example. So in the Idaho 4 case, there was a footprint that was outside Dylan Mortensen's room. And that footprint couldn't be seen with the naked eye, but they further processed that through amino acid technology, and they determined that actually that footprint had blood in it. And they were able to determine the size of the shoe, etc. Can you imagine what might have been on that mat? Let me give you an example. Because we know he crossed the mat because we see the blood on the porch. He left, and as I've said, I think he was holding her, and that blood dripped down in that one spot to see the splash. Mac believes that that might have actually been her either coughing or something along that line, coming out of more of her face or mouth as he paused to pull back. Nevertheless, he left through that door. Imagine this. And this happens all the time. When you live or in and around a certain area, you pick up things on your shoes. you can pick up a particular type of sand, a particular type of mud. Have you ever been in the desert? Maybe some of that is on your shoe. And you go and you cross that mat. Just think what could have been left from the bottom of the perpetrator's shoes. You never know. To not take that mat is mind-boggling to me. Mind-boggling. To not take the leaves that, yes, he had gloved hand, but when you have gloved hands, sometimes as you're taking them on and off, you know, using your hand to put one glove on, you might leave some touch DNA on the outside of that glove as you're pulling that glove and struggling. And now you're taking foliage and you're rubbing against that foliage, trying to get it loose? What if touch DNA could have been discarded from the outside of the glove onto the foliage? You don't take all that foliage. It's all seen scattered there. And I think a lot of it isn't there. I think you might have taken some of it inside, which that whole foliage thing still, that's one of those things that's really bothering me. Fact, some of the leaves blew over top. And I wish I had these pictures. Sorry, don't have this picture. Blew over top. I'll put him up though. Blew over top of some of the blood. Listen, or I'm sorry, was seen on top of the blood. If you look closely at the blood, you can see that leaves are on it. I really believe they're just little teeny ones. I think that blew over top. So my hypothesis is that they blew over top. In other words, it would show that indeed it shows the order, whether the blood was first or the leaves were first. So in other words, if the leaves were there, why wouldn't the blood be on the leaves rather than the opposite? I've seen all those pictures and I really believe, because there's only two little ones, I think they blew, those little leaves blew onto the blood. I definitely think that the leaves came first and the blood came second, but I just want to say it is a fact that there were some small, teeny tiny leaves on top of a couple of blood drops. I think there's only two. Number 11, fact, a locksmith did come. Now, there's also, I've seen some pictures online that hypothesize that they put in a deadbolt lock. So looking at pictures of the back pre-abduction and post-abduction. I'm not going to speculate on that, but what I am going to say is that 100% a locksmith was there. Oh, wait a minute. I think I might even have a picture of that. I think I did yank that. Let's see. A locksmith, here he is. Locksmith was there. And even though law enforcement won't tell us whether there was a forced entry or not, the fact that a locksmith is here, people, tells me that it might have been forced entry, or that the lock they felt was easily penetrable. So in other words, if you give me a normal lock, I can defeat that in minutes. Seconds, really, probably under a minute. Just a regular lock that, you know, it has the handle and you turn it to make it lock. It very easy to defeat. A deadbolt is a whole nother situation. That causes a person to defeat it, to typically use some sort of force, and there's going to be some sort of issue with it. So it tells me one of two things, that either there was forced entry, or, which I've seen no signs of. I can find no signs of any pictures that show forced entry. In other words, the door jamb messed up, the door messed up, the handle messed up. I can't find anything like that. But was it just secured with the knob, and which I told you can be defeated in 2 seconds. So did they go in to reinforce? I don't know, but I think this definitely was related to the abduction, and they want to make sure this house is more secure. Number 12, the Cajun Navy's there, the Madres Buscadoras are there, and others are there. That's a fact. They're there. A lot of people are upset because, you know, there were a lot of problems in the Sebastian Rogers case with different search parties, and it was a hot mess. And all I can say is I find it absolutely horrible that people can't just get along when you're looking for an 84-year-old woman that might be deceased and that's been abducted and went through absolute hell. It's just shocking to me. It's kind of like when I see people online, you know, these hate channels, you know who they are, that literally their whole purpose is to go on and try to discredit what other people are actually doing, either boots on the ground or from behind the scenes. They're trying to talk about the cases. I've just never understood and never been a part of that whole hate mentality. Let's go ahead and tear down the people that are actually trying to do good in a case. I think it's just total jealousy, and you know, maybe they're just short on content that day. But I hate to see this issue with searchers and YouTubers and people that are out there at least trying to bring forth information or trying to look. And I really hope some of that subsides and that both can work together. I don't know if that can happen, but I'm always hopeful. There was a full moon on February 1st when she was taken. And not only was it a full moon, but they describe it as 100% room or moon luminescence. So this was huge. And for those of you who love to look up the moon, love to stargaze, have ever lived in a community where there's no light pollution allowed, when you have a full moon, it's amazing. It's like a beacon of light that shines down on everything, on the neighborhood. Look at this picture. Look at this beacon of light outside of this picture. Could this be, you know, everything be illuminated? And I want to tell you where I got this picture. I didn't enhance it. I didn't put a filter on it. This was from Kash Patel when these pictures first came out on day 10. So I just screenshotted it and put it up here. So this is what we were given. Remember, what we were given first came from Kash Patel. Number 14, I want to talk a little bit about this book quote. So I touched on this a lot on one of my segments where I was kind of outside the Occam's razor box, because now we're down to this not being about money. And when it's not about money, you have to look at other things like retribution or obsession with somebody. In this book, it is an absolute quote that she says, "You are not alone in this book." And the overarching theme is, you know, it's not too late. You aren't alone. And she's referring to sort of redemption and God and how basically no matter what you do, you know, God is there for you. It's not too late. You're not alone. I don't think there's any coincidence that overarching theme and one of those phrases exactly was used in one of her pleas to the individuals. Obviously, it didn't work. They're not being useful, even though likely the behavioral analysis unit from Quantico has already given a full outline of what they think this person would be like, the person who took her and abducted her. And they're trying to appeal to that. Also, I wanted to say it is factual that in her speech that she gave with her sister and brother, that she absolutely used a line from Silence of the Lambs. Talked a little bit about this. Silence of the Lambs was recorded at the FBI Academy with multiple FBI agents, with my fit instructor, with the guy who handed me my creds, Mr. Stowe, with one of my classmates was actually in the movie because he was a fitness instructor at the time at Quantico before he became in my training class, and that we went and saw the premiere of this movie, Silence of the Lambs. Sadly, it might be a big waste of time, but I've probably watched this thing 15, 20 times. I love to watch movies over and over again, like The Godfather, man. I have that thing memorized. Every time I watch it, I pick up something new. Like in The Godfather at the very end, I always thought he said, Pops paid a lot for you to go to Harvard. He doesn't. He says Furman. Furman in South Carolina. Anyway, I digress again. Back to this point. The point is that I just wanted to say that it's fact that there was information from this book and from Silence of the Lambs when she says, talk to her and you'll see, referring to how nice of a woman that her mom is. So this is why I believe there's a complete profile that's already been made up of who there is. They tried to appeal to that, and now they're going with money. Money talks, this emotional route has not worked. All right. Moving on to source information, I want to talk about three areas of source information that have recently come up that I think are very important. Oh, sorry. A couple more facts. One, this Range Rover was seized. We haven't heard anything further about it. We know crime scene tape was put behind it. There was a federal warrant to seize it and to search it. I'm still very interested in that. Nobody's talking about it. We don't know whether it's a dead end or not, but I would really like to know. Another fact, there were at least 16 sets of gloves found. I want you to note how a lot of these officers carried their gloves. I have multiple pictures like this in their back pockets that possibly could have dropped, and that could be an area of confusion. This was clarified. This note that it actually, because of her reported missing, that automatically apparently goes to the Adult Protective Services. So then this Deborah person, after the incident, comes out and puts this note. I want to put the rumor to bed that it was something that is thought of as being different on that front, because it's not. All right. I want to talk about, these are the last three items because, oh my gosh, we've been an hour. I'm so sorry, guys. I didn't think this would go this long. The last three items. That porch guy was there on two different days. That is from source information. Another large item from source information is that Savannah wanted to put up the money but was discouraged by law enforcement. And number three, that Tommaso committed the abduction of Nancy. Those were all three, were or are all three from source information. Okay. Now, let's first talk about number one. The reason, there's a couple of reasons why I think this possibly could be true. And the biggest thing I can see, and I always say, everybody, look at what your eyes see. Look at what facts are. Look at this compared to this. Now, yes, they're in a little bit different. So at this point, maybe that Nest camera is illuminating. It's not going to illuminate clear out to here. It's not going to illuminate clear to the street, to this driveway, to this whole back area. It's just not. Look at how dark this is back there. Look at the exact same. See back here, I don't know if you can see my cursor, but look back where these little lights are. See how lit up that is? And then look at this one. Look at that. This leads me to believe this, and in conjunction with a couple other things. First of all, you have to look at who's reporting this. The number one person that initially reported this was ABC. ABC does a pretty darn good job. After that was Brian Inton and, I can't remember the other News Nation reporter, and that is terrible. I'm being remiss here. But they both reported it too. Listen, Brian Inton is not going to come forward with his source information if he doesn't 100% believe it's accurate. So I'm leaning toward trusting in this, with the caveat, and I'll tell you why I'm leaning toward trusting in it. Those reasons, because I believe ABC and I believe News Nation, but also because I can see this with my own eyes. Now, a lot of people are talking about motion lights, floodlights, other things. I'm telling you, it's against the law there. If you live, because I lived in one of these neighborhoods, if you live in a light pollution type situation area where there's an ordinance against lights, you can't use floodlights, you can't use any lights. You can't have outdoor lighting that lights up it in the night. They want it black so that people can look up and see the stars. That's just that's the whole reason. So you can be fined, you can get in trouble, your neighbors all get mad at you. And even though you have them, I certainly had them, but no way did I turn them on unless it was a very unique situation. Like as an example, we always had this gigantic Halloween party and I was afraid people might trip because you can't see a thing. And I would talk to my neighbors and I'd say, listen, you know, just for this, and they were all invited anyway, they were all there, they didn't mind. I need to turn lights on for them. So you have them sort of an emergency situation or a unique situation, but you don't have motion lights. So anyway, I am believing this with the caveat that it's source information. And again, it's never the reporter that I blame, because I think the reporter is always reporting what they believe is truth, and they should be. That's their job. Their job is to seek all this information out. But I tell you, whenever I hear that somebody behind the scenes is leaking information, it just makes my skin crawl, because no one should be leaking information about an investigation. Having said that, just release the information, people, meaning law enforcement. You've already given us this footage. There's no time or date stamps, which could be because it was from this archived information. I'm really not buying that, because it seems that law enforcement may know, because Chris Nano says this, right? He specifically says there's no date or time stamps associated, suggesting that they were taken on different days is speculative. He's basically trying to say, don't speculate. This isn't factual. I mean, he's really pushed up against it. He's saying he doesn't believe it, that it's not from two different days. I don't 100% know. This lighting situation is the only reason, that and the people reporting it, I think, are very trustworthy. It's not about, though, the reporter, in my opinion. It's always about the source. What's the motive of the source? Why would this source believe he needs to tell somebody this? Why? And why in the world doesn't law enforcement just come out and tell us, hey, we believe this was two different days, or we believe it was the same day, which again makes some sense. If as comfortable as this guy was, I'm coming out, I'm looking at everything, sizing it up. Now I'm getting my backpack. I think she's here. I've got my gun. I'm ready to roll. I could see it rolling both ways. But again, the source information says two different days. I'm tracking that one close. I also wanted to add, in case you guys didn't know, that the 11th is a day, and there's other dates too, where law enforcement has said, listen, we want footage. We want footage in and around this area. And that is also significant to me, because you wouldn't ask for that unless you had an inkling or believed that possibly this guy stalked, or, and I hate to use the word stalk. That's really, that legal terminology doesn't comport. It surveilled, looked, cased the location they were planning to go to, right? That's what they're looking for. And I think they were also possibly looking for any other houses that had been broken into, if they thought that possibly this could have been a break-in gone bad. So nevertheless, the 11th was a day focused on, I just want to say, the 11th, I've said it before, was a waning crescent. That's that crescent, that sliver of moon, and it was actually waning, going away. So that tells me, you know, you would see darkness like this. So it's just a couple things to consider. Number two, Savannah wanted to put up the money, but was discouraged. Listen, I believe that. I'm going to tell you I believe that, because anybody in law enforcement will tell you that when you start making when you start putting out rewards, you have people coming out of the woodwork, even $50,000 rewards, hundreds. It's insane. So we know the call volume. I just got the latest figures, 30,000 tips and leads. Oh my gosh. And with a million, it's going to even go up. And I could see law enforcement saying, listen, we're drinking from a fire hose right now. We could just not handle any more of that. But I believe this was a brilliant move. I wish it would have been done on day 10. And this is why, not because of the lunatics. The FBI and law enforcement should be able to understand the lunatic ones and triage those appropriately to the bottom of the barrel. Not that they don't have to look at it, but they should go to the bottom of the barrel. And anybody with a philosophy or, hey, I think this could be what happened, please don't call in, for heaven's sakes. They have investigators with decades of experience. There's probably thousands of years of experience in that room that have their own philosophies based on the facts. And they know way more facts than we know. So nevertheless, I believe that certainly it likely was discouraged. And I also say it because of this. I say it because Savannah Guthrie very early on said they were willing to pay. And she has a lot of money and she loves her mom. If anybody can't see that, then they're blind. She loves her mom. And this is heartbreaking. You can see she's aged probably 10 years. It'll come back. But right now she's just so full of grief. For anybody who's lost a parent, I've lost my mom and my dad. Anybody who's lost a parent, it is heart-wrenching. It is a part of you, depending on how close you were with them. It's heart-wrenching. They're never again in your life. You can't call and ask them for a recipe. You can't call and get a gardening tip. They're gone. All right. I'm going to get off that subject right now. And number three, again, originally Tommaso was named from source information. Right now, it looks like that absolutely was just bad source information. Do I blame the person that brought it forward? It's their job. It's their job. Nancy's cell phone, by the way, is still at the house. That was left at the house. But that would be a smart thing for a crook to use. You don't want to take the cell phone, even though it might be worth something, because then you've got a tracking device with you. So it made sense to leave the cell phone, but all the other didn't make sense. All right. That I think wraps it up. I want to thank everybody for being on early this morning. I know we went an hour and 15 minutes. That is just not my MO. It's becoming my MO with this case. Tomorrow, if there's no breaking news, we are going to move on and discuss theories. And we're going to keep it not Looney Tune theories, but theories that have some support in one way or the other. I might see if I can get somebody up early in the morning. I really want my profiler friend to come on, but he is getting ready for trial in a case very similar to this, where an 80-year-old was abducted. I talked all about that case. Very similar in a lot of the fact pattern, but not similar in terms of that was a crime of opportunity. The person wasn't masked. It wasn't planned. It was his other vehicle he broke down near the 80-year-old's house. And so he wanted another car, but still very similar because he decided to take that woman. The difference is here, though, there was no reason for somebody mask to take Nancy because she didn't see him. He's just increasing his vulnerability in terms of being caught with her by taking her, his exposure to being found. Listen, this guy might be strange, might have conducted things not as a professional, might not be good with a gun. This might be his first rodeo. He did a lot of things right because we're headed into the fourth week and the full breadth of the FBI's resources, assisted by Pima County, can't find this guy. It's going to take the public. period, end of story. And the biggest person it's going to take is the piece of crap out there right now that knows this person personally and likely knows this is him by how they're dressed, by the backpack, by those eyes and that mouth. Please come forward. $1 million in your pocket. 1.2 million. Life-changing. Do it anonymously. Tell the family where Nancy Guthrie is. All right, everyone. Have a great rest of your day. Until next time, may justice be served for Nancy Guthrie.
Want to break the case with Jennifer Coffendaffer even more? Then press subscribe right now and join Jen on YouTube. Just search Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer now.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Don't miss Scarpetta, a propulsive new crime thriller starring Academy Award winner Nicole Kidman, Academy Award winner Jamie Lee Curtis, Emmy winner Bobby Cannavale, with Emmy nominee Simon Baker and Academy Award winner Ariana DeBose. Scarpetta follows Dr. Kay Scarpetta, Nicole Kidman, a brilliant and no-nonsense chief medical examiner, as she investigates a haunting murder that strangely parallels her first major case from decades earlier. Is the case that made her the case that breaks her? Based on the best-selling crime novels by Patricia Cornwell, Scarpetta is both a crime thriller and messy family drama that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Get ready to hunt a serial killer in the satisfying series with terrifying twists and an ending you won't see coming. Watch all episodes of Scarpetta now, only on Prime Video.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.